Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in the City of Oaks. I'm James.
And I'm Jennifer. Today on our show, we're talking about a fun topic, scooters.
That's right. Even though I'm not a big fan of bicycling, I can get behind this. So let's start off with something basic. What's the difference between a moped and a scooter? Seriously, I don't know, Jen. Hopefully you did some research for
this. Well, I was going to say, what is this, a pop quiz or something?
Yeah.
Well, mopeds are defined as a single-passenger, two-wheeled, motorized vehicle with an automatic transmission and engine displacement less than or equal to 50 cc's. The moped design has since evolved to include two-passenger version, often referred to as a scooter or a mini motorcycle.
Mm.
And that's got an engine displacement of up to 250 cc's. The average speeds range from 30 miles per hour for small mopeds up to a full 60 miles per hour for large scooters.
Okay, so basically scooters are just mopeds that seat two people, it sounds like. Maybe they're a little faster. No.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, but your definition actually left me with another question. What exactly is a CC? And I remember in Mario Kart, the 150cc carts were way faster, but I never really understood why, except they had more CCs, which doesn't mean carbon copies, at least in this case.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't. So, wait, are you Googling this right now? Or
I talked to someone who repairs mopeds and scooters for a living, and he said that CC stands for cubic centimeters, and that it refers to the displacement of the pistons in the engine. Don't worry, I was completely lost at that point, too. But he said it was like a foreign version of horsepower, I think. I didn't want to seem like a total idiot, so I pretended like that explanation made sense to me. I did Google it afterwards, and the result wasn't much better. I think the Google definition that popped up was CC stands for cubic centimeters, a unit of volume. So 1,500 CC is essentially 1.5 liters. This number basically is approximately the displacement volume of the engine, the volume covered by the stroke of the piston multiplied by the number of cylinders that the engine has. So we'll just say the more CCs, the faster the bike, and leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would ever mistake us for being gearheads or anything.
No, probably not.
So the technical aspects of cubic centimeters and piston displacement are definitely a bit confusing, but it does seem to tie into that distinction between mopeds and scooters. And this distinction also makes it tricky to come up with universal information that applies to both. But fortunately, we're going to be interviewing someone who drives a Vespa scooter, and I was able to find some fun facts about Vespas.
Hmm.
For example, 18 million Vespas have been sold across five continents since the brand's launch in 1946. One tank of gas on a Vespa equals 245 miles. That's some great gas mileage.
Yeah, that's nice.
To provide rigidity, which I felt on a test ride, if you've ever ridden through New York City's Central Park, Vespas are made from pressed steel. And there's a lot of debate among the Vespa community about this, but the most sought-after classic model is the 1958 G5.
Ooh.
It represented the start of the sport category for Vespa. And last but not least, fans of Vespas are affectionately known as Vespisti. Vespisti.
Okay, well, that's almost as bad as calling people from Charlotte charlatans. But
yeah,
that's definitely interesting about the one tank equals 245 miles. And it makes me a little jealous, to be honest, with all the commuting I'm doing. But, you know, now that we've lured you in with the fun facts, let's delve a little into the history of scooters, shall we?
Let's hear it.
All right, so people have been riding scooters since 1894 when the German manufacturing duo Hildebrand and Wolfmuller, obviously German, produced a motorized bicycle with a step-through frame. But they didn't really gain much popularity until the 1930s when the various armies across Europe began to see the practicality of using them on their military bases during World War I and II. And basically, these huge, sprawling military bases around Europe needed messengers on fast and cheap transportation to quickly relay communications.
And, interestingly enough, it was the Second World War, more specifically the gas rationing that followed it, that helped bring scooters to the civilian market. So, an Italian manufacturer, Enrico Piaggio, hopefully I got that right, Piaggio,
sounds right.
That sounds pretty Italian, had manufactured airplanes during the war, but after his factory was destroyed, he shifted his focus to scooters. So, supposedly after seeing the first prototype, he declared, "Sembra una Vespa," which meant it resembles a wasp. and therefore the Vespa was born.
Now, see, that should have been on the fun facts list, because I didn't know that what Vespa meant wasp.
And I noticed in this script you gave me the Italian to pronounce instead of you. Is that on purpose?
I had the German names there. So,
yeah, that's true. That's
yeah. It was a nice little move on my part, though. But, yeah, they do have that wasp sort of appearance to them, and they do seem like a waspy ride. You know, I can definitely see people cruising around Martha's Vineyard or the Hamptons on those things. So.
Very nice, very nice. But yeah. I can see that. But that does kind of ignore one of the big reasons people choose to ride scooters, which is that they are cheaper to purchase and maintain than cars and motorcycles. And the gas mileage is, obviously, as we've talked about, it's pretty incredible. So on average, it works out to about 80 or 90 miles per gallon.
Yeah, that is impressive, because a lot of the manufacturers are European, and the gas, I think, is usually measured in liters over there, which I believe are smaller than gallons. We've already wasted enough time on the CC stuff, so I'm not going to bother getting into liters versus gallons. But I do remember when I was in Europe that petrol was sold by the liter, and that the per liter price was usually higher than the per gallon price, even though liters are smaller. So let's just say it makes a lot of sense to own a scooter over in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Well, unless you're in London, where it rains all the time.
That's a good point. I don't really see the appeal of riding one of these in anything less than ideal weather conditions, honestly.
James, I don't think you want to do anything in less than ideal weather conditions, except maybe, I mean, you know, it beats walking in the rain.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. It doesn't, singing in the rain is fun, but, you know, walking.
Oh, are you going to bust out some? Is it Grace Kelly, right?
Yeah, Grace Kelly, yeah.
I was reading some tips about riding your scooter in bad weather.
Oh, okay.
So one recommendation is that you not only don't ride it in the rain, but you also want to wait 30 minutes after the rain to even brave the roads. And this has given me a flashback to driver's ed class when they taught us that the oil or the roads are the most slick right after the rain starts because of the oil and dirt on the surface.
Oh, huh. Yeah, that makes sense. The 30 minutes, it reminded me of swim lessons where you're not supposed to swim 30 minutes after eating, which
well, there you go.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it's one of those things they say, cramping. Yeah.
Also, if you want to avoid high winds, that's probably a good idea. And you probably shouldn't ride them at night. It's a lot harder to see you on a little scooter there.
Yeah, that's true. And the weather can be pretty unpredictable. So if you are caught out in the rain, there are some basic safety tips that maybe could help you make it back to your Italian villa alive. So you want to use some kind of anti-fog compound on your glasses and something like Rain-X on your visor. I don't know if you ever used Rain-X, but it's really good. It beads up the water and it's great for driving in the rain. You probably want to wear rain gear with reflective strips to help improve your visibility. Like Jen's saying, it's pretty hard to see on those little things. You actually want to drive slower than usual. Stick to one lane. So these are advice that also applies to cars, I would say. You know, drive slower, stick to one lane. But this one, you avoid running over metal surfaces such as manhole covers. They're sort of like patches of ice for a little scooter, so they could really skid you out and cause something bad. And it also says avoid puddles. I guess that makes sense. You don't know how deep they are on your little scooter. And you also want to try and remain as rigid and upright as possible.
Well, that and driving through a puddle with your scooter. I've done it on my bike, and let me tell you.
Yeah, you get soaked, right. Yeah. I wasn't thinking of that.
And Gretchen, whom we talk to later, talks a little bit about this. So it seems like one of the biggest concerns when riding is that bad weather, in bad weather, would be that the behavior of other drivers. So the high visibility clothing, of course, and sticking to one lane can go a long way in terms of protecting yourself. And, you know, safety is one of the biggest issues if you're going to ride a scooter or a moped. Unfortunately, the crash outcomes for people riding scooters, not so good. The National Institutes of Health published a report in 2014 looking at scooter use in Florida. And at the time, scooter use was on the rise, partly due to higher gas prices.
Yeah. So you know, between 2002 and 2008, there were 5,660 moped crashes in the state of Florida. I think it's a little unfair. They're using Florida as sort of their test case. Seems like there's more accidents down there, but of those crashes, 18% resulted in severe or fatal injury, and the demographic profile of moped drivers by injury status shows that the majority of these crashes occurred in urban locations, among the crashes occurring in rural areas, 35% resulted in severe injury compared to 25% in the non-severe injury group. Ownership status varied among moped drivers, with a greater proportion of severe injury crashes occurring among those who reported owning the vehicle, which is 55.7%, whereas moped drivers predominantly possessed a non-commercial driver's license. However, 30% of severe injury drivers and 23% of non-severe injury drivers were unlicensed.
Of course, we're not trying to dissuade people from owning scooters or bum people out either. So fortunately, we were able to find BuzzFeed listicle, 20 reasons why you should own a scooter. And it's full of great and insightful advice, like number 4, you can save money.
Ooh.
Number 6, your passenger can perform gymnastics while you drive. These are, of course, accompanied by lighthearted images and animated GIFs. The perfect pick-me-up if you're stuck with the dreary image of navigating your poor little 50cc scooter through gale force winds and heavy rains.
Yeah, that is a good little pick-me-up, but I swear, BuzzFeed has a listicle for everything.
Yes, yes, again, hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, didn't you interview the owner of a scooter shop here in Raleigh?
Yes, I did, actually, and kudos for that impressive seg. I had the opportunity last week to speak with Romero, who is the owner of Unique Motorsports on Hargrove Road. Now, he actually used to be located right on the cusp of downtown at 523 Capitol Boulevard, but he was telling me that the city acquired that land as part of an improvements project, and he had to relocate.
Has the move impacted his business at all?
Yeah, he said he's kept most of his existing customers, because Unique Motorsports does repair as well, but it's reduced the number of walk-ins, new customers, that kind of thing. But he said business is good. One of the interesting things they do there, he was saying, was modifying the scooters, which are mostly designed for quick, short trips. So they modify them to endure longer travels. They do a bunch of technical, mechanical stuff that I probably could not explain. But, you know, changing out the engine, putting in an oil cooling system, and just some other minor upgrades to make them last for a longer period of time on the road.
Huh. Seems weird. But, so what kind of scooters do they sell?
Well, he told me that their most popular model is a generic 50cc Chinese scooter. I don't think that's a name brand. I think he was just referring to the country of manufacture. But there's not a lot of high-end Vespas flying out the door in Hargrove, I suppose. You know, it makes sense they're the most popular type, these cheaper ones, because Romero told me the most common reasons people buy the scooters are because they either can't afford a car or they don't have a driver's license.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, and it's a good way to get around. So yeah. Did he tell you what kind of scooter does he drive?
Well, actually, funny enough, he told me he doesn't drive one himself. You know, if I were him, I'd at least lie and say that I drove the most expensive model. You know, I think that would make the customers more inclined to buy one. Yeah. I don't know.
Your salesmanship?
Yeah, right? But who knows?
Well, fortunately, we were able to interview someone who does. Gretchen Saucy, she drives the higher-end Vespa, though.
Very nice.
So we're going to take a time out and hear from her. So Gretchen is here to tell us a little bit more about that. Let's start with why did you buy a scooter? What led to this decision?
Originally, I was working about 2 miles from my house, and it just seemed silly to drive every day 2 miles with just me to work and back. It was just, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So I bike to work for a couple days. It gets a little warm in the summer. It's really hot.
North Carolina.
And you get sweaty, and it's not a whole lot of fun.
No. I never saw the appeal. Biking
for it. No. I thought it was cool at first, but
for 2 days.
For 2 days, cool. That was enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't get James started on his negativity about bicycles.
Yeah, I'm like
a big fan.
Oh,
you don't? Okay. Bicycling fans on the show, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so tell us more. What kind of scooter is it?
It is a Vespa.
The Vespa.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's a Vespa 150. I debated between the 50cc and the 150cc, but the 150 is a whole lot faster. And when I'm going up hills and my husband and I are riding together, it doesn't miss a beat. It just keeps on chugging.
So you both can ride on it then?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's neat.
And
okay.
Keep up with traffic.
Wow.
Which is key.
Yes.
Because yeah, I don't want to be run over.
So where did you get it? Locally? Or?
I bought it locally. I'd kind of debated about some other ones, but I didn't like the look. It just didn't have the class. I wanted,
yeah,
exactly. And I didn't want one that like made obnoxious.
Does the 50 cc's make those noise?
No.
Okay.
No, it just kind of like purrs. Did you even hear me pull up? Really?
No, we did not.
We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have put a lot of research into choosing one.
I did. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, but the scary thing is when you're buying a scooter, you don't get to test drive it.
Really? Oh, I guess they, well, no, but two people can ride it. Why not?
Oh, no. They were just kind of like, no. I mean.
But what if you've never ridden one before? You want to make sure you're not scared of traffic.
I don't know. But I had ridden one before in Bermuda a number of times. So I'd been on them before. So I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing, I think.
Maybe.
Really? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then, but, you know, so I'm looking at them and I'm kind of like, hey, can I go out? And he's like, oh, no. I'm like, I'm spending this much money and I don't get to test drive it.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any place you can rent them from? I guess not.
Locally?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know.
Because this isn't Bermuda where everyone rents out scooters.
Right, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Because I've actually been to Bermuda and I've ridden the scooters. It's a very nerve-wracking experience, at least for me, because it's just that one road that goes around
right.
the place and mm-hmm. everyone drives like a maniac. So yes. I don't know if it's better or worse here.
So I've had my scooter now for probably about 7 years. And 7 years ago, I didn't think twice about it. Now, I think twice about where I'm going, what route I'm taking. And I'm very particular now about the road quality. Because my scooter has little tires, and it's not like a bike, and it's not like a motorcycle. So I feel bumps. So it's like, ooh, avoid that road. That's too bumpy. I'm not going there. And people are texting a lot on their, they're not paying attention to me, even though I'm right in front of them.
Yeah, that was going to be my other question, because I know a lot of motorcyclists have to keep an eye out for drivers who are much more distracted than they used to be. And yeah, do you have the fear while you're out there constantly?
Sometimes I do. And I think I'm a better driver when I'm on my scooter than I am in my car. Because in your car, you know, you've got a radio, you got your cell phone, you got distractions. Scooter, it's me in the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm watching for where people are, who's coming up on me, and are they getting too close? Do they even know I'm here?
What color is your scooter?
Red.
Okay. Well, at least then hopefully that helps us
get hopefully they see it.
I buy one,
and,
I got the
and
red
my
one.
White helmet. Yeah. Hopefully they see that.
Put some neon lights on there. So tell us what you love about it, aside from the excellent gas mileage, I'm sure.
Excellent gas mileage. I love the, you're just part of nature. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just the great smells. The, you know, when you're going down a hill and it gets cold. It's like you don't see that in your car.
Yeah.
And I call it my cool pockets of air. And the smells that I'll get from like things that are blooming or someone's cooking something that you don't get in your car. Hmm. And it just makes the ride so much more enjoyable. It's like you're really taking in everything and all your senses are kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, because when you're in your car, you're in your own little bubble, I guess.
Oh, you're
very
isolated.
Yeah.
Wait, so do you have the face, like when dogs are sticking their heads out the window, they're getting that false sensory
experience. Exactly.
Does your face look like that while you're doing it?
Just so I don't excited. Know, just like, it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because, you know, as I was driving over here, and I'm thinking, I passed a row of bushes, and I'm like, oh yeah, I think that's Russian olive. I think that's blooming right now.
Hmm.
Because I got a whiff of it, and I was like, I wouldn't know that in my car. And parking is a breeze.
Ooh. Yeah.
Are you allowed to park pretty much anywhere, or what's...
I do.
Yeah.
Haven't gotten a ticket yet.
Although I did get a ticket one day.
Oh, really?
This was silly me. I don't know what I was thinking, but I parked. So when I'm downtown, I always park on the sidewalk. I'm tiny. I don't take up a lot of space. So I park on the sidewalk, never gotten a ticket, except one day I parked in front of a building where there was where the city council meets.
Oh.
And it was one of these days that all the police were there for something going on. Well, and their office is right there. So they walked right past my scooter. And I was like, I should have parked it across the street. I was just kind of like, eh. They left me a ticket. That's my only ticket. And when I've been at North Hills, does not like you parking there.
Hmm.
Like on the sidewalk. They want me in a spot, which I think is silly. Cameron Village, they're cool about it. They're like, we'd rather have you on the sidewalk than taking up a space.
James, why don't you put in a call to Kane over there? No one else can do about that.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned gas mileage. What kind of gas mileage do you get?
Let's see, probably about 50.
50 miles a
gallon? Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess it cost me about $5 to fill up.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Uh-huh. And that goes for probably about 80 miles. My gas tank is like a gallon and a half.
Like a milk jug.
It's not very good.
And so we talked about weather. The reason you were interested is it's hot riding a bicycle. But what about, you know, when we have the odd snow that we get here or it's raining buckets out there? What do you do?
Then I'm in my car.
So you still have a car as a backup.
I still have a car as a backup. But the cool thing about my scooter, too, is that it has a skirt. They call it a skirt. It attaches to the front of the scooter. And it kind of comes over top of my lap. So it keeps me, like, if it's raining, because it's some days, you know, you take it and it's like, oh, it might rain, it might not. So I'll have a raincoat on and I'll have this over top of my lap. And if it rains, it just kind of, like, flows down. It doesn't get me wet.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And it keeps me warm. So I can ride it through, let's see, it's November. I'm still riding it.
Oh, yeah, but today the weather was fantastic.
I know.
See, today would have been one of those days too hot to ride a bike, I think. But
yeah. That's your opinion, James. We'll leave it right there. Do people on scooters wave at other people on scooters?
Yes, they do.
I was very curious about this. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a low,
Well, yeah, we're making hand signs on the radio.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
No, I'm doing the same thing.
I was like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's a low kind of peace sign?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, because I can't even see through the table.
Yeah, it's, like you're guys your, it's like you're throwing your arm down.
Yeah, you're just kind of like, you know, and it's like, I see you.
Okay.
I see you. Cool. But motorcycles do not think that scooters are cool.
I'm sure they don't. But they have their own, like, hand waves.
They probably do.
Yeah, I think so. I've seen them.
Okay.
Any advice for someone who's thinking about buying a scooter?
Do it. Just go and buy it.
I don't know if that qualifies as advice. It's more like, man.
It's just so much fun. It really is. It's a ton of fun. And I mean, if you got it, I mean, granted, there are times that I need my car. No doubt about it. I was out in RTP this morning. I got to be on driving my car then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take that on my 40.
No. But, and so I made the mistake once though of driving. I was out somewhere and I was trying to get back home, and the best way to do it was to go on 40 or the Beltline. My scooter can do 70. Oh,
pretty good. Mm-hmm.
But I do not
do it that fast.
I do not want to fall going 70 miles an hour.
No, you don't.
Because some car is just going to plow me over. I did that once. I'll never do it again. It was scary.
Now I'm curious. You said you got a ticket. I didn't know scooters had to be tagged and licensed, or I don't know how that works.
Well,
I knew some people that drove scooters because they couldn't.
Right.
Get a car.
Yes, that's if you have a 50cc.
Oh, so the 150 is like you get.
It requires a license and a plate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You got to have a special license.
Because I was thinking, if you don't have a license, I just throw that ticket in the trash. But okay, you've got a license plate, they know who you are.
No, they know who you
James,
are.
James, you do know you're a host on a transportation podcast, and they're going to come find you.
Okay. I always park in the garages, so I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have a car, so it's.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully your license is still valid.
It is now. I just got it renewed. So I'm good. I might have gone.
He says.
I might have gotten a few days without updated one.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. Yeah.
Well, what else are we asking you that you want to talk about as far as your scooter goes?
Just that I wish that there were more people out on scooters. It just seems so silly to be driving around in a car when you're going a couple miles.
Yeah.
Are you still just a few miles from work, or sound like you might have?
I am.
Oh.
I'm a few miles from work, and sometimes I'll drive. But it's out. I now work outside the Beltline, so that's a little hairier.
Yeah,
I'm not crazy about that drive. I just wish that people would think about it, because I mean, we're all driving these big cars that we don't. I mean, what's in it, right? What are you carrying? That I mean, unless you're carrying kids and you've got lots of groceries. But I've even been to the grocery store and forgotten that I've had my scooter, so I have like multiple bags of groceries, and I now carry bungee cords at the back of my. I've got a little back. Thing.
Yeah.
And I have things bungeed to the scooter. I mean, I look like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, I think that's perfectly acceptable. Maybe is there such a thing as a cargo scooter, like a cargo bike where there's a bigger basket? Maybe?
I wish there was. It would be good.
Maybe they should start making those. They probably make them in Europe already.
They probably do. We just don't have them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Gretchen, for coming in. It's been
of
a lot
course.
Of fun.
Well, thank you so much, Gretchen, for speaking with us. That was one of our most fun interviews, I think I can say.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun. We appreciate her sharing her thoughts, and we did get a photo of her. We'll share that. One other thing we haven't touched on in this episode so far is electric scooters. Some quick Googling makes it seem like the electric scooter market is pretty new. So right now you're more likely to find those in Europe or in maybe some tourist locations here in the States where you're just cruising around like a beach. But it is worth noting that Smithsonian Magazine said electric scooters are becoming more popular in the world's megacities. I don't think Raleigh qualifies in that category.
No.
So I'm pretty sure we don't have too many, unless you're talking about those little foot electric scooters people hit up on the sidewalk.
Like the hoverboard things?
Yeah. I see a few of those around town.
Oh.
But
oh
also
my gosh.
The inline ones.
I saw someone, I'm not even kidding, I was driving around in Durham. And there was a guy on one of those little hoverboards. It's those two-wheeled little skateboard-type things, pushing a shopping cart down a major road. Like, I don't know, I think he was a construction worker bringing supplies back to the job site. But I had to take it. Maybe we can put that picture up there.
Yeah,
too.
I think
it was,
we should.
It was
I think
hilarious.
We should.
I could not believe my eyes. So anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's definitely a story we're sharing and a photo we're sharing.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't have a driver's license.
It was a weird thing because he was on a busy road,
yeah,
we had to pass him in the van. So.
Yikes. Yikes. Yeah. Okay. So electric scooters.
So anyway, back to the electric scooters. Right.
So yeah, there are some pros though, even though they haven't hit it big here yet. They are cheaper and less noisy, and of course they don't emit pollutants.
Yeah.
But on the downside, they can't go as far on one charge, and they don't have as much oomph for, you know, all that CC getting up the hills.
Oh.
They're also a lot smaller than the gas-powered ones, which could be a pro or a con, depending.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Raleigh has a lot of hills to drive up, so I can't see them making it too big here unless the engines get a little more to them.
Yeah. That reminds me, we should do an episode about electric bicycles, which I'm sure is
Are cool.
Something you could support.
Right? Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's all for this episode. Thanks again to Gretchen.
And please share your thoughts about scooters and mopeds with us. You can do that by emailing us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where we are going to be posting a picture of Gretchen with her awesome Vespa and a picture of that random guy in Durham pushing a shopping cart.
Yeah. And if you know people who have a scooter, please take their picture and share it with us so we can share that on Instagram as well. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.